Will you turn with me in your Bibles tonight to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 3. And we're going to begin our reading at verse 15 of Luke, chapter 3. Luke 3, 15. Now as the people were in expectation, and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And with many other exhortations he preached to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being rebuked by him concerning Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, also added this, above all, that he shut up John in prison. In mid-November of 1985, 26-year-old Antonio Johnson walked into the FBI office in Detroit, Michigan. The FBI did not suspect the surprise that he had for them. At first, he claimed to have information about a robbery that had occurred a few days ago. But he had a lot more information than that. After interviewing him for several days, the FBI discovered that he was involved with a whole string of robberies stretching from New York City to San Francisco, California. You see, Antonio Johnson was very good at concealing his sex, his age, and his race. He could convince witnesses that he was a 25-year-old black woman. And on another occasion, he could convince witnesses that he was a 60-year-old white man. It turned out that he had robbed about 22 banks and savings and loan institutions all across the country and had accumulated a haul amounting to some $350,000. Kenneth Walton, the special agent in charge of the office in Detroit, Michigan, summed up Antonio Johnson pretty well. He said, very simply, he was a master of disguise. Now, please don't ask me why a successful bank robber like this turned himself into the FBI, because I don't really have a clue. Maybe he got tired of playing all those different roles and just wanted to go back to being plain old Antonio Johnson again. But wait a minute. Isn't it true that at times all of us are masters of disguise? And given the right set of circumstances, and given the right kinds of motivation, we can find ourselves playing a role that really does not belong to us. Please don't think that that kind of a temptation only comes to unsaved people or even only to uncommitted Christians. That kind of a temptation comes frequently to men and women who are deeply dedicated to Jesus Christ. And because that is so strikingly true, I want to call the title of my message tonight by a modern phrase which I kind of like, and the phrase is, get real. That's the title of my message to you this evening. Get real. Many years ago, when I was in the second grade, and I assure you that that was many years ago, but many years ago in the second grade, I fell madly, wildly, and head over heels in love with a little second grade girl who was in my classroom, Ann Nuffel. I want you to know that my parents, who are sitting in the back, raised me to be a very well-behaved little boy, but in the second grade, I was blinded by love. And I fell into the trap of writing little love notes to the girl of my dreams and passing them to her during class time, which was against the rules. And one of the greatest acts of treachery that I have ever had to endure occurred after a recess one day when I committed to the hands of a guy that I thought was my friend one of these little love communications. He sat right next to the girl in question, but instead of carrying it to her, he took it straight to my second grade teacher. And as she stood up in front of the class and fortunately silently and to herself read that gooey communication, I could feel myself beginning to sink slowly, slowly through the classroom floor. But despite downers like that, I also had one wonderful moment in the spot. You see, when we graduated to the third grade, I was still in love with this little girl, only now we were in different classrooms. But happily, it fell to the lot of the second grade to put on a Christmas play in front of an adult audience in full costume on a brightly lighted stage, and our play was to be The Nutcracker. And Ann Nuttall was chosen to play the beautiful princess who was captured by the evil villain. And of course they needed someone to play Prince Charming, who concealed himself behind a heavy dark cloak until at the last moment he flung it aside, revealing himself to be the handsome and dashing prince. And when they chose someone to play Prince Charming, who do you suppose they selected? I modestly confess it, they chose me. Now you talk about an opportunity to act out your childhood fantasy. You talk about a chance to live your dream. There it was. I was the charming prince rescuing the beautiful princes, and as in all good stories, living happily ever after. Only one trouble. When the curtain came down and the lights in the auditorium went on, reality returned. And today, I don't have the slightest idea where Ann Nuttall is, and she doesn't have the slightest idea where I am. And the chances are good, sad to say, that she at least doesn't care. But you know, sometimes when we grow up, when we're adults, we get the opportunity to play a role that is very appealing to us. We get a chance to pretend to be something that we really are not. And that kind of an opportunity came to John the Baptist. I mean, this opportunity came to John the Baptist in spades. Please remember that a few months before our passage occurs, John was practically unknown to the nation of Israel. He was a desert hermit. And then suddenly, like a meteor streaking across the nighttime sky, he became the most popular preacher in all of the land of Palestine. And crowds streamed out from Jerusalem and the surrounding regions to hear him preach. Great multitudes submitted to him in baptism. And the name that was on everybody's lips was the name of John the Baptist. And the question that was in everybody's mind was this: could this possibly be God's promised deliverer? Could John possibly be the Savior and King who is to come? Could this man be the Christ? Now please understand that if John had wanted to play that role, he could have played it very well. You see, Israel at this time was a nation that was restless. It was seething under the hated Roman yoke. Within 40 years, the nation would erupt in rebellion. And all that John the Baptist needed to do was to drop a few broad hints that he was the man that they were looking for. And almost overnight, he would have been numero uno in Israel. He would have been the most powerful person in the land of Palestine. But maybe, maybe as I talk about this, someone out there is saying, yeah, same, but. John's temptation was a very unique and special kind of temptation that could only occur to a man like this. What could his temptation possibly have to do with me? But you know what? This is the kind of temptation that comes to all of us. It just came to John on a bigger scale. You see, in our assemblies, there are sometimes people who are willing to play the role of the most powerful person in the assembly. Or they are ready to play the role of the most spiritual person in the assembly. Or the best personal worker in the assembly. Or the greatest prayer warrior in the assembly. Or the best Sunday school teacher this assembly has ever seen. Or the best husband or the best father. And there are almost as many roles to play in our assemblies as there are people to play them. So this temptation comes very often. Mrs. Arthur Sulzberger of the Sulzberger newspaper dynasty was once saying goodnight to her little granddaughter. And the little girl said this. She said, "Mommy and Daddy are entertaining some important people downstairs." And Mrs. Sulzberger said, "That's right, but how did you know?" And this is what the little girl said. She said, "Just listen. Mommy is laughing at all of Daddy's jokes." We can kind of relate to that, can't we? My, how quickly we can slip into our little act when there's someone around that we'd like to impress. Madame Modjeska was a very accomplished Polish actress, and she was particularly noted for her performance of tragic roles on the stage. One evening she was at an evening party, and her admiring fellow guests were urging Madame Modjeska to do a piece from one of the plays in which she had performed. At first she refused to do anything, but the admiring guests were insistent, and finally she gave in, and she announced that she was going to perform in her native language. And as she did so, she held the entire audience of guests spellbound. Some were even moved to tears. And after her performance was over, someone asked her, "What was the name of that touching story from which you recited?" And Madame Modjeska replied, "I counted to 100 in Polish." And there is a danger, my friend. There is a danger when we get up to pray, when we get up to lead, that we will give a very touching and moving performance behind which there is no spiritual substance at all. So there it was, folks. The opportunity of a lifetime, the role of the ages, John the Baptist's opportunity to play the role of the Christ of God. And can't you just hear the seductive words of Satan ringing in John's heart? "Come on, John. Come on. This is the way to the big time. This is your ticket to superstardom. Face it, John, aren't you getting a little tired of this dreary existence out here in the wilderness? What you need is a little R&R down in the capital city. Down in Jerusalem, you're going to rub shoulders with kings and high priests and the leaders of the people. And if they think that you're the Christ, they're going to wine you and dine you. And I guarantee to you, John, if you taste their food and drink, you're never going to want to come back and feed on locusts and wild honey. Wake up, John. We only go around in life one time, and you have to grab it as it goes by. Sound familiar? Now, folks, please don't think that such thoughts didn't go through the mind of John the Baptist, because John wouldn't have been human if they hadn't. And the devil would not have been the devil if he hadn't suggested them. Of course the temptation was there, but listen to me. You are never, never going to hear words spoken by a human being that are much greater than the words that John spoke in the passage that we read. And I would like to give you a free paraphrase of these words. I would like to give you a free translation. John says to the people, "Why are you people looking at me? I'm only baptizing with water. But someone is coming who is so great that if he were actually here, I would not deserve to stoop down at his feet and untie the strap of his sandal. And do you think my baptizing ministry is a big deal? Well, it isn't. Because this person really knows how to baptize. And he's going to baptize every one of you. He's either going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit or he will baptize you with fire. In fact, this nation is like his threshing floor. And with the winnowing fan of his word, he's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. And the saved are going to be gathered into the kingdom just like wheat is gathered into the barn. And the unsaved are going to be cast into the unquenchable fires of hell. They're going to be immersed in fire." Wow. Wow. You talk about stepping out of the spotlight and turning the focus on someone else. These words are a masterpiece. They are an absolute masterpiece. And John is saying, "Do you think I'm important? Do you think my ministry is important? You don't know important. Let me tell you what's important," says John. "It's the coming one. It's our true Messiah and King." Be honest with me tonight, will you? Are you ever tempted to get your eyes off of what is really important in life? What is really, really important in life? Well, it isn't you. And it isn't your affairs. And it isn't even the ministry you perform for God, no matter how significant that ministry is. Let me tell you what is important. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Savior and Lord. And if you ever forget that, if you ever forget that, you will be play-acting. You will be play-acting in the church before you can count to 10. There's a very engaging story that is told about Leonardo da Vinci. He was a mathematical genius, but he was also a brilliant painter, and it was the Duke of Milan who requested that he paint his famous portrait of our Lord at the Last Supper with his disciples. For 3 years, Leonardo worked on this masterpiece. He divided the disciples into four groups of three, and two groups were on one side of Jesus and two groups were on the other. He worked carefully and with meticulous attention to detail. Jesus was in the center. His arms were outstretched. And in his right hand, he was holding a cup, which Leonardo da Vinci painted with amazing and astounding beauty and realism. And when the painting was done, he asked one of his friends to look at it. And he said to the friend, "Look it over and tell me what you think." And the friend said, "It's wonderful. And that cup It's so real, I can't take my eyes off of it. And the story is that when Da Vinci heard that, he took a paintbrush and ran it across the cup, blotting it out. And as he did so, he said this. He said, "Nothing shall detract from the figure of Christ." And my Christian friends tonight, happy is that Christian man, happy is that Christian woman who has decided to paint Jesus Christ on the center of the canvas of their lives. And happy is that believer who determines in his heart that nothing shall detract from the figure of Christ. Well, there was the chance. But this was the kind of man he was. John was focused on the Son of God. Do you know, if we'd been back there, we might have been tempted to give him our 10-cent lecture on how to use common sense. And maybe our lecture would have gone a little bit like this. John, you blew it. You blew it big time. John, you know what your problem is? Your problem is that you are so sickeningly sincere and pitiful. You are just downright too honest for your own good. Oh, maybe it was okay to kind of play down your public image because there are some dangers associated with being a prominent public figure. And maybe it wasn't too bad to kind of play down your baptizing ministry. I guess it gets to be a drag once in a while. But John, please, did you have to go and tell all your audiences that King Herod was committing adultery by living with the wife of his brother Philip? John, don't you realize that Herod is a half-breed Edomite and Samaritan who has to rule over Jewish people? Can you imagine how much he appreciates the most popular preacher in Israel going around telling his audiences that he's committing adultery? Do you have any notion of what that does to his popularity rating in the Jerusalem Gallup poll? And what have you wound up with, John? You wound up with free room and board in Herod's prison. And John, I don't think you're ever going to get out of there. I doubt it very, very much. You could have ended in a palace, and instead you're ending in a prison. And that's what happened, isn't it? Apparently, that's what John got for his fidelity to Jesus Christ. He ended his life in a prison because King Herod, acting at the request of a little dancing girl who happened to be the daughter of the woman he was living in adultery with, sent an executioner to the prison and beheaded John the Baptist in the prison. But just in case you are tempted to buy into the philosophy that sometimes you have to play it cool, but sometimes you have to do a little pretending. Just in case you are tempted to think that sometimes hypocrisy and deceit pay off big, let me remind you of this fact. Not long after John was put in prison, the Lord Jesus was surrounded by a crowd. And Jesus said to the people in that crowd, "What did you go out into the desert to see? Did you go out to see a reed that went this way and that way depending on which way the wind was blowing? Did you go out into the desert to see a man dressed in soft clothing? People like that are living in king's palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, and more than a prophet." And then, in the words of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus adds this superlative praise. He says, "Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen a greater person than John the Baptist." You want to talk about fame? You want to talk about success? That's fame. And that's success. And that fame and success from the only source that really counts, from Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Would you like to be a great Christian man? Would you like to be a great Christian woman? Would you? Here's my advice. Forget about all those impressive little roles that you are tempted to play. Focus yourself on the Son of God and get real. Get real. Dr. S.D. Gordon tells the story about an elderly woman who was losing her memory. Formerly, she had known a great deal of the Bible by heart, but her memory had caused most of it to slip away, and now the only verse that she could really remember is that lovely verse written by the Apostle Paul. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. But as time passed, parts of that verse slipped away from her. And so she could only sit around in her rocking chair and say, that which I have committed to him. That which I have committed to him. That which I have committed to him. Finally, as she lay on her deathbed, her loved ones who were gathered around her observed that her lips were moving. And they bent over toward her to see if there was anything that she needed. And they heard her reciting the last piece of that verse that she remembered. And it was only a single word. And the word was him. 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 And yes, that lady had lost almost all of her memory. But she had retained her grip on the central reality of life. And listen. The only reality that counts, whether for you or for me, is him. 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 Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for him who loved us and gave himself for us. Help us to forget about how other people see us and concern ourselves exclusively with your approval. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.